agenda out there? Well, Pastor Crone has done a wonderful job of putting together a series of talks. There are 10 DVDs, and they're called The Final Countdown. There's a number of video clips in there, as well as, of course, the scriptures that back up what he talks about how we are truly living in prophetic times, and I believe that with all of my heart. Pastor Crone, you pick up the story there.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Monty. Thanks for having me again tonight. And, you know, you're absolutely right. You know, this is kind of a side issue. Tonight, I want to, you know, focus on the number four sign with the one world religion. But since you kind of brought it up with the monitoring issue with the technology out there, on Sunday night in our Book of Revelation study, I shared a couple of video clips. And just as a little teaser, people, we can, Lord willing, talk about this on the finale of the Final Countdown, the Mark of the Beast, Lord willing, where we deal with this kind of issue. But they've developed some technologies called Smart Dust. And, you know, for your listeners, if you just want to Google Smart Dust, well, you're going to get quite an earful and an eyeful. There's actually video clips you can see with news reports of this technology that they have these chips, these monitoring chips that are so small that they are about the size of dust. And what they're utilizing those for started out as a military technique, and what they do is they basically you can have a whole handful and blow your hand, and these things are floating in the environment, and they're monitoring, capturing the whole nine yards. Plus, when you could put it on the ground, people walk on it, and they pick it up in their shoes, and they become monitored. And then there's a huge secondary discussion going on. Well, what if you breathe these things in? And this stuff is all happening right before our very eyes, and it will make absolutely no sense to you at all until you crack open the Bible and you begin to see, because God's concerned about his people, he's concerned about creation, and that he warned us 2,000 years ago, the kind of society that would appear on the planet before Jesus Christ would come back and set up his millennial kingdom, to give us a heads up before it's too late. And what you will see is that's the only place where it makes sense. Because this is exactly the total surveillance society that we are rapidly rushing towards that is coming upon us, that the Bible talks about, except people need to be aware of this is not for our good, it is not for our protection, it will not make life more convenient. It is all part of the Antichrist system, and you don't want to be a part of it.
And believe me, there is an Antichrist system. And just as we, as Christians, we have a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They have a mirror image of that. It's Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And these things are coming to pass if you begin studying what's going on. And as people say, oh, well, of course, you know, Christianity's all right, but we all worship the same God. And believe me, that is the devil's own message there. Anything to undermine Christianity, because the one thing they fear, the one thing they hate, is the message of salvation. And, of course, the eternal salvation that comes from a belief in our Lord. We'll be back in just a minute with Pastor Billy Crone right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. My guest again this afternoon is Pastor Billy Crone, and he's going to continue on his dissertation on the Final Countdown. And we're truly living in prophetic times. The whole economic structure of the world is collapsing. And this is not by accident. It's my contention. It's all being planned, but of course it's going to bring in a terribly chaotic time. And unless you understand how this all fits together, why many people's hearts will simply quake with fear. They'll simply want to go into a room and curl up in a little ball and just say, well, just wake me up when it's all over. But the nightmare is not going to be over, not for an awful long time. But anyway, Pastor Crone, you pick up the story of the Final Countdown.
Well, yeah, you've already dealt with, of course, the whole premise of the Final Countdown is to deal with 10 different signs that God, out of love, gave humanity to wake up before it's too late. And, you know, we've already dealt with the Jewish people, modern technology, worldwide upheaval, the rise of falsehood, the rise of wickedness, the rise of apostasy. And, of course, tonight, again, on the topic of one world religion. Now, the three after that, Lord willing, is one world government, one world economy, and, of course, the big finale, the Mark of the Beast. And when it comes to this one with the one world religion, I think a lot of people gravitate towards the next two, and that's one world government and one world economy. And a lot of people are picking up on this, especially in light of recent events, and rightly so. There are, you know, the leaders behind this Antichrist system are even not even couching their terms anymore, and I think that they're just it so confident that there's nothing going to stop it, that they're not even hiding it anymore. They're calling out for, you know, New World Order. Of course, Kissinger's doing that, and there's tons of people, governments all over the world, in light of this quote-unquote economic global crisis, are calling for a global economy, somebody to govern it, and the IMF is meeting together and calling for, you know, we got to unify the currencies around the world, and all this is staged, and most people pick up on that, on the economy and the government. It's this issue, the one world religion, I think a lot of people who are even hip into what's going on in the world, and not even as Christians, they don't understand this point, the one world religion, because the Bible is clear that the Antichrist system is not just going to be a one world government and economy where he's just going to grab total control and just squash people. That's just the tip of the iceberg. The heart of Satan and the heart of the Antichrist, who is going to be Satan incarnate on the earth, if you will, is worship. It's all about worship. And that's what created his fall. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah 14, chapter 14, Ezekiel 28, talks about Satan's fall. And it's all about me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity. He wanted to be God. He was going to ascend to the Mount of the Assembly. You know, he wanted to be worshipped. Okay, that's his problem. He wanted to be God.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Pastor Billy Crone. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and that's Pastor Billy Crone is talking about really how many, many people have recognized this political aspects of what's going on, the economic aspects. They know about the one world government. They know that they want a one world economic system, but they don't understand the importance of the one world religion. And the fact that Lucifer wants to be worshipped. He wants, of course, to become God. And this is really what it's been all about for the last 6,000 years. Lucifer wants to rule this coming one world government. That's the mystery of the mystery religions, the secret that's been passed down. You can tap into this supernatural force. You get great power and wealth and prosperity and fame. Why, you could even become the President of the United States. But, you know, it's certainly at a terrible, terrible price for eternity. So pick up the story there, Pastor.
Well, you know, and again, that's just it. And where we get that is, of course, Revelation 13, which talks about a one-world government, which talks about a one-world economy, which talks about, of course, the classic passage dealing with the mark of the beast. But it clearly tells you at the beginning of that chapter the reason why all this is coming about. And it has to do with worship. There's going to come a point in time when the whole world will be worshiping the Antichrist, and ultimately Satan, who's behind him. And here's what the text says. The whole world was astonished and followed the beast, the Antichrist. Men worshiped the dragon, that's Satan, defined by the text there, because he had given authority to the beast. And they also worshiped the beast and asked, who is like the beast? Who can make war against him? All the inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the book of life, belonging to the Lamb, Jesus Christ, that was slain from the creation of the world. And so it's clearly the whole underpinning reason. Why would he just, is he just on a power trip? No, he's on a self trip. It's all about him. He wants to be worshipped. That's been Satan's desire from the beginning. That's why he was kicked out of heaven. And so people need to understand, it won't make sense, all these things that are happening across the world, because you need to understand at the heart of it is self-worship of Satan. Okay? And so the premise that we've been dealing with, well, how in the world, let's play, if you will, to use the term, the devil's advocate. If you were the Antichrist and you were going to dupe the whole world into worshiping you and come together in this one world government economy, etc., how in the world are you going to pull it off with all the different religions on the planet? How are you going to seemingly do the impossible and unify everything when everything's drastically different? Well, as we saw before, you got to, first of all, get rid of any sense of right and wrong, i.e. bring in relativism and get rid of this idea that there are absolutes, which is ridiculous, as we saw before, because the moment you make say there are no absolutes, you just made an absolute statement. Number two, you got to get rid of those people who won't go along with your system of trying to unify. And that means Christians, literally, our heads will be on the chopping block. And we know that, literally, because of Revelation chapter 20. We also see the birth of that kind of punishment for dissenters on the rise again on the planet with decapitation. And then this one is you got to get busy promoting the wrong. Okay, so you laid the foundation, you got rid of supposedly any sense of right and wrong, that whatever you believe is true to you, whatever I believe is true to me, everybody's just got to work together. And that's what's being called the interfaith movement. Now, the term there, interfaith, okay, it's just like the term New World Order. When you hear New World Order, you might as well just say one world government. Okay, this same term with interfaith. Interfaith, you might as well just say, every time you hear it, read it, because it's everywhere, you might as well just supplant it with one world religion, because that's the ultimate goal of the interfaith movement. And what they would have you and I believe is that all religions are valid pathways to God, and that there's no need for humanity to fight and argue with one another. We just need to respect and tolerate and find common ground with each other. We've got to work together to save humanity from destroying itself, because after all, here's their mantra, don't you know that the differences of religions are what the cause of war? That's not what the cause of war is. Man is the cause of war. War is something that's manufactured, but that's a whole different story. And so what they try to get you and I to say, that we've got to compromise, we've got to just find common ground, but it's actually an oxymoron. To think that you could be an interfaith, specifically Christian, is ridiculous. And the reason I want to say that is because Jesus could never go along with the one world religion, because he made this statement in the book of John. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Now notice he didn't say, I'm one of the ways, like people would say today. He wouldn't say, I'm one of the truths that you could pick and discover on your own out there. He didn't say, I'm one of the many lives out there that you can follow in. No, he says, I'm it. I'm the way, the truth, the life. And if you didn't get it, he follows it up with this statement, no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, how could you get any more absolute than that? Okay? And so how in the world that sets the stage for grand persecution, which Jesus said would come, he says, you will be hated and persecuted over the whole world because of me. Why? Because by the very core of Christianity and being a Christian and the words of Jesus Christ, there isn't many ways to heaven. He's the only way. I didn't say that, he did. So how in the world can I go along with that as a Christian without denying my faith? Okay, and that's what's so ludicrous. They say you got to be tolerant. Well, you're tolerant of everything except Christianity. Okay, and even if I wasn't a Christian, you begin to look at the facts and deal with this intellectually honest, you'd have to admit that why is Christianity the one that keeps being singled out? I mean, you'd have to at least get you a little bit curious, to figure out why. Well, it's because there's an agenda, because Christianity, by the very words of Jesus, cannot go along with this. He's called the Antichrist for a reason. He's not the anti-Buddha or the anti-Muhammad. He's the Antichrist. That's the Christian term. And because Jesus is the only way out of this mess. And the scripture is clear, the devil is so wicked that he knows his gig is up. He knows it's over. He knows Jesus Christ is coming back. He has defeated him on the cross. It's over. Okay? But the devil is so wicked, he's trying to see how many people he can dupe and take down with him to hell. And so that's what this whole Antichrist system is all about. And most people say, well, come on. I mean, that's a pretty bold statement to make, that, these people are really creating this Antichrist system. Do we have any, proof of that? Well, I created a little bit of an outline, and I'm just going to hit some of the highlights of, and people need to realize that this isn't just something that's off in the future and, we don't see any signs of it. It's actually all over the place if you know what to look for. In fact, it's been put in progress and escalating for years. Let me just give you a little teaser of what has happened for the first time in man's history. In 1893, we had the first World Parliament of Religions held. Why are these times any different? Why do I need to pay attention? Because that's never happened in the history of mankind. 1930, we had the World Congress of Faith. 1948, we saw the World Council of Churches. In 1970, we saw the World Conference of Religions for Peace. 1974, we saw the Second World Conference. In 1979, the Third World Conference. In 1984, the Fourth World Conference. And then you talk about a watershed event. If people were paying attention, but most people aren't because they're so sidetracked, and they're doing the same trick that they did on the Roman society, bread and circus. People don't care. They have no clue of what's going on, because as long as you tell me that I'm going to have my retirement and a bank account, the economy's going to be great, throw in a six-pack of beer and some sports, I don't care who rules me. And so most people are clueless to these signs that are coming apart. And the other reason why is because people don't pick up their Bible. And or even if you are a Christian and in a church service, I'm sorry, unfortunately, because the apostasy that we're seeing today, most people aren't even taught this. And yet the book of Revelation is the only book in all of Scripture that in the beginning comes with a threefold blessing if you read, if you take to heart, the words that are contained within this book. But not only that, it also ends with a blessing, a double blessing at the end of the book. There's no other book in the Bible that comes with that. Why? Because God tells us what's going to happen. You do not have to be caught off guard. And one of the big signs that we know that we are truly headed for the first time in mankind's history was in 1986. It's a huge watershed event. The Vatican called for a meeting of all religions to come and pray for world peace. And again, Dr. Monteith, this is why on the Final Countdown series we worked overtime to include video clip after video clip after video clip, because it's not just enough nowadays to just read an article and things of that nature, because it would be easy to scoff at that, especially with some of the stuff you find on the internet. Some of it's bunk and whatever, so it would be very easy for people to say, well, that's just, you know, joeschmo.com, that's some weird wacky site you got that off of. You're going to see the actual video clip with your own eyes. I'm going to read to you what you can see if you get the videos with your own eyes. You will see this event taking place. In 1986, Pope John Paul II gathered in Assisi, Italy, the leaders of the world's major religions to pray for peace. There were snake worshippers, fire worshippers, spiritists, animists, Buddhists, Muslims, Hindus, North American witch doctors. And the guy, the eyewitness account, he says, I watched in astonishment as they walked to the microphone to pray. The Pope said they're all praying to the same God, and that their prayers were creating a spiritual energy that would bring about a new climate for peace. John Paul II allowed his good friend, the Dalai Lama, to put the Buddha on the altar in St. Peter's Church in Assisi, and with his monks to have a Buddhist worship ceremony there, while Shintoists chanted and rang their bells outside. He says, quote, the prophesied world religion is in the process of being formed right before our very eyes. That was back in 1986. How many people have any idea that watershed moment? You know, some people will understand, as we talked about the first time with the Jewish people in 1948, when they became a nation again. That was a huge, huge sign that we are in the last days. And yet, how many people understand this one? That you are seeing for the first time in mankind's history all the religions coming together. But again, you get the videos, you're going to see that video. You will see with your own eyes. We're not making this up. But that's just the beginning. 1989, you had the Fifth World Conference of Religions came down the pike. 1993, you had the Second World Parliament of Religions, the 100-year anniversary. You also had the Declaration of Global Ethic that same year. That's basically a new set of commandments for the world to follow. 1994, you had the Sixth World Conference of Religions for Peace. 1997, you had the charter was written. It was signed in 2000 by the United Religions Organization. You tell me that these people aren't serious, you go check out the website yourself, folks. URI.org, United Religions Initiative. And that was started back in 1993. When the United Nations invited William Swing, an Episcopal bishop in California, and he went to an interfaith service. And that night he found it hard to sleep, and he told himself, quote, if the nations of the world are working together for peace through the UN, i.e. one world government, then where are the religions of the world? And from this inspiration, a vision took shape to create an organization, quote, whereby people of diverse faiths from all sectors of society would cooperate, peace and justice for all. They are working right now and have been for years. Check it out yourself. A one world religion on the planet.
Well, that thought will be right back. Well, Pastor Crone, you go right ahead.
Well, you know, and again, I just, please, don't take my word for it. You hop online, you go check it out. We're not making this stuff up. And again, what's really sad, Dr. Monteith, is all this is there. It's all wide open. It's all there for people to verify and check out for themselves, but how many people have any clue what to even look for? And again, this is the premise that we want to do with the Final Countdown. Listen, don't take our word for it. We're going to tell you what to look for. We're not making it up. It's with the Scripture. You know, we cite the sources, everything. We did our homework. Now, you go out there. If you want to call us Lulu or Wacky, that's fine. But you watch the video clips with your own eyes. You go online. You check our sources. You check it out, and you tell me. Okay, and if you deny it, I just challenge you. I think you're going to have more faith than me to discount what's going on. We're not making this up. The year 2001, you have the World Congress on Preservation for Religious Diversity. 2002, once again, the Vatican called for a meeting of all religions to come and pray for peace and to overcome conflict. Then in 2002, you had the first meeting of World Council of Religions. 2003, you have the Second World Peace Summit. 2004, the Third World Peace Summit. 2005, the Fourth World Peace Summit. Then you have this event targeted a lot towards young people, the Global Day of Prayer, to unite different religions around the planet. And then 2006, you had the Fifth World Peace Summit. Then the 2006, you also had religions starting to unite over global warming. We'll get to that in a second, hopefully. You also had that same year the Pope and the Dalai Lama heralds that they're working towards peace between Catholics and Buddhists and Hindus. In the exact same year, the Pope was praying in a mosque, and that was deemed as a new horizon in interfaith. 2007, you had a major event going on that most people are clueless. You had the Interfaith Council was established in Jerusalem. Why is that key? Well, of all places on the planet, where does the Bible say that the Antichrist is going to head up his headquarters? Not in Washington, D.C., not in Peking, China, not down in Australia, down under, but in Jerusalem. And so in Jerusalem, you see signs of this interfaithism establishing headquarters. Huge, huge sign right there. 2007, you also had the World Council of Churches begin to encourage not just churches, but different religions to unify. And then in 2008, and this wasn't that many months ago, the Pope met with Jewish, Islamic, Buddhist, and Hindu leaders in Washington, D.C., right here in America, once again encouraging us all to get along. So, again, check people. You check it out yourself. This stuff is going on before very eyes. Now, if you notice with just that very quick timeline, I didn't go through it all, just hit some of the highlights, but if you notice, it escalates the further you get down. And that tells you, it was almost like the year 2000 was a watershed event once you start lining up the facts. It's like everything got kicked into turbo gear. And it's just happening with such rapidity. And yet, again, how many people have any idea? Now, the premise is, well, how are they doing this? How are they pulling this off? Okay? Well, there's a couple things I want to highlight. They're doing it through, basically, personalities. Now, that could be in politics. It could be in the entertainment industry, things of that nature. But they're using personalities to influence people. Okay, and that's common when you want to do propaganda. They're doing it through paganism, through the environmental movement, and hopefully we get to that. And then three, they're doing it through the pulpits. Yes, unfortunately, even in the churches are promoting this baloney. But let's start with the personalities. I mean, do we have any proof that there's personalities promoting this one world religion? We all got to work along. Well, here's a quote from Ted Turner, and who, by the way, is paying for most of the costs of the World Peace Summits of religious leaders. Okay, he makes a comment like this. He says, quote, "What disturbed me..."
Hold that, Pastor. We're going to be back here in just a minute with all of our... Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Pastor Billy is talking about all of these meetings, all these religious meetings, Parliament of Religion, peace summits, religious peace summits, and of course, they're being held almost on a yearly basis to get all the religions together so we could all live together. And all we have to do is say that all religions lead to the same end, all paths lead to God. And that, of course, is the devil's own lie. Well, certainly, Pastor Billy was simply talking about one of the major financiers of this whole world movement, and that's Ted Turner. And what did Ted Turner have to say about this ecumenical movement that he's financing?
Well, here's what he said. He's just, almost in mockery, he says, "You know, what disturbed me is that my religious Christian sect was very intolerant. We thought we were the only ones going to heaven." Now, wait a second there. How could you sit there on the one breath and you claim to be a Christian or even have roots in Christianity, and yet you undermine in that statement, "We thought we were the only ones going to heaven"? Hey, I didn't say that. Jesus did. Let me read it again. Jesus himself said, John 14:6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father through me." We thought we're the only ones going to heaven? Hey, listen, I'm not making that up. Jesus did. How could you call yourself a follower of Jesus if you're going to deny the very statement of Jesus? You, in essence, yeah, I know it's very popular to say, can't we all just get along? But you, in essence, called Jesus Christ a liar. Now, here's what's very interesting. You know, he's working with this group and all that stuff, and of course we know with the media industry that he's involved in, obviously, and founded. Okay, and I remember many years ago, I joked as I began to see him work with these religious leaders and pushing this one world government and one world religion, and I actually joked and go, "Hey, I wonder if the guy's ever going to quote, you know, create GNN, the Global News Network." Now, I've joked about that for several years, Dr. Monti. 4 weeks ago, because of the economic crisis that's been, frankly, thrust upon us, this has now happened. Listen to this. Emerging global elite to use the new global media to educate global citizens. Quote, "Elite members of the World Economic Forum Forum met in Switzerland recently considered a proposal for a new global television network to usher in a state of global governance. This is a direct quote. The parent company of Fox News was one of the sponsors of this year's meeting. The media proposal, which was included in the Global Agenda 2009 report, is to create a new global network with the capacity to connect the world, bridging cultures and peoples, and telling us who we are and what we mean to each other. Several prominent U.S. media figures signed on to the alarming and controversial proposal. Isn't it nice that we might have a TV network telling us who we are? Very interesting. That's talking about total control of what's going on in the media. Now, what's also very interesting, and we talked about this before, but you put, and this is just hot off the press. This is February 10th. This just came out. Okay? The two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11, we talked about this before, but I wanted to bring it up again in light of current events. Okay? The two witnesses that will be killed by the Antichrist in halfway into the tribulation. Here's what the scripture says after God allows them to be killed. For 3.5 days, men from every tribe, people, language, and nation will gaze on their bodies and refuse them burial. The inhabitants of the earth will gloat over them and celebrate by sending each other gifts because these two prophets had tormented those who lived on the earth. But after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and terror struck those who saw them. Now, it says right there, clearly in the text, there's going to come an event when these two witnesses, okay, are going to be murdered, and it clearly says from every people, tribe, language, nation, the whole world is going to gaze on their bodies and refuse these people burial. Now, we talked before that we have, for the first time in mankind's history, folks, the ability to watch an event with our own eyes, okay, and then even with the internet to send gifts, okay, with our own eyes, an event all over the world. Okay, there's still one little tiny little problem, though. You got a multitude of networks. Somehow you're going to have to tie them all together so it truly becomes a truly global event. Well, if they launch this baby that they're just talking about, they are going to have, for the first time in mankind's history, not only the technology to be able to monitor an event, they actually, this article, this Global Agenda 2009, to create this global television network, might actually be, you know, I'm not going to say thus saith the Lord, but might actually be the actual global television network that is going to be utilized to monitor and show the world the deaths of the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11. That has never happened in the history of mankind. It's time for people to wake up.
And, of course, certainly through the miracle of cell phones and the other things, these things can be seen all over the world on television screens, on cell phones, all on your computer. Isn't it wonderful that we now have this technology? It never could have occurred before, but it can occur now. And believe me, so many of the things that we're seeing electronically, we don't understand. But God understands and prophesied this 2,000 years ago. This is Dr. Stan, Pastor Crone. You go right ahead with the story.
Well, you know, and again, this whole premise of one world religion, I know it sounds nice. I know it's politically correct to say, hey, can't we all just get along? Can't we just all focus on, you know, the quote-unquote golden rule, and we'll just focus on only the positive elements of all the religions, and we'll make them all work? Well, that's just not reality. And usually when people make the statement, and all they're doing is parodying the media and or the educational system of what they're being told, it's not even logical, let alone biblical, that all religions can, basically teach the same thing. They don't. And when a person says that all religions are basically the same, what they just told you is they know nothing about all the different religions, and they certainly don't know anything about Christianity. All the other religions on the planet either teach that you are God, you can become God, or you have to do something to earn your way to God. Christianity is the only one that says no. You are cut off from God because you have sinned against God. There is nothing you could do to appease the holiness of God being infringed upon, and so you're in a heap of trouble. You're under the judgment of God. But here's the good news. Because of the love of God, God himself came down and took your punishment in your place. His name is Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. Name one religion on the planet that's like that. No wonder it's exclusive by nature. But again, I'm not saying that. Jesus said, he said, I'm the way. I'm it. No one comes to the Father but by me. Yet in light of that, not only apparently ignoring the words of Jesus Christ, and ignoring common sense logic, people have been trained to come back and say statements like Ted Turner, hey, you know, we thought we were the only ones going to heaven. Well, he's not the only one, folks. It's all over the place. And you could see this video clip with your own eyes. We have a video clip with former President George Bush, and he was asked the question on tape, on video, do we all worship the same God, Christian and Muslim? Quote, I think we do. We have different routes to getting to the Almighty. And then he came back and says, so do Christians and non-Christians and Muslims go to heaven in your mind? Quote, yes, they do. We have different routes of getting there. Excuse me? And you just called Jesus Christ a liar. But again, he's not the only one. That's the trend. People high up all over the place have bought into this lie. We have people like Prince Charles. He launched this movement called Respect in order to promote tolerance for world religions. You got the Tony Blair with the Tony Blair Faith Foundation, I believe he created last year. And he's devoting the rest of his time to bring unity in the different religions on the planet. He was recently at the National Prayer Breakfast, and he's there quoting the Quran.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Billy. And this is Dr. Stan, our guest, Pastor Billy Crone, and of course we're talking about the final countdown. But before we go on, Pastor, would you go ahead and get out your website and means of communicating with you if people would like to reach you, so that we do carry many of your items. We don't carry all of them, but we're picking up more all the time. Picked up another three DVD sets, but you go right ahead.
Yeah, you can check us out at our main website. That's www.niagarafrontierbible.com. That's NIAGARAFRONTIERBIBLE.com, niagarafrontierbible.com. Or you can just Google my name, Billy Crone, C-R-O-N, as in Nancy, E, Billy Crone. Just Google that, and that'll take you where you need to go.
All right, very good. Well, you were going ahead, you were telling us about Ted Turner, and then what?
Well, and then Tony Blair, you know, is out there traipsing around with his Tony Blair Faith Foundation, trying to unite all the religions on the planet. Again, he was recently at the National Prayer Breakfast, and while he's there, which people for some reason assume is Christian, I don't think so, but he's there quoting the Quran, he's there quoting the Hindu, the Sikh, he's trying to quote all kinds of things and bring them all together, and he says that bringing the faith communities together fulfills an objective important to all of us, believers and non-believers. And he says, I believe restoring religious faith to its rightful place, in other words, all of us together, as the guide to our world and future is of itself of essence. And folks, this is happening within just the recent month. It's like this is all under our eyes. Does anybody have any idea what to look for? And again, unfortunately, most people don't. It's happening just as fast, folks, as this rise of a one-world government and one-world economy. Okay.
Let me just comment briefly. The National Prayer Breakfast, for any of you who don't know, Christians come from all over the country, go, and it's very expensive. But of course, this is not a Christian prayer breakfast. You got Tony Blair, you know, talking about the Muslim religion, how great it is. We have a wonderful four-tape set. It's called The Family. We have the book called The Family by Jeff Charlotte. Goes into the background of this subversive group, which has infiltrated Christianity, that puts on the National Prayer Breakfast, and has infiltrated every aspect of the Christian faith, both Catholic and Protestant, and it has its own agenda. And part of that is, of course, this one world religion. The other is, of course, this one world government. That's The Family, and we do carry that. You need to get it. You need to understand how thoroughly infiltrated we are. But you go right ahead, Pastor.
Well, you know, and again, that's just the tip of the iceberg. It's not just political personalities. It's just media personalities. You know, one of the people, again, you can see this actual video clip with your own eyes, is Oprah Winfrey. And she's using her mega influence to promote New Age, which is the underpinnings of this one world religion. Can we all just get along? And, you know, you'll see the actual video clip. And she was challenged in one of her shows because she was promoting New Age material. And a member had come up and said, well, wait a second. I mean, how does this, how can you please God if you're just going to say that there's many different ways? That's what she was saying. There's many different ways to get to God. And it doesn't matter if somebody calls it God along the way, but if a person is loving and kind and blah, 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 and the person says, well, wait a second, you know, there is only one way. And it was a Christian in the audience. And Oprah literally comes back and says, there couldn't possibly be just one way. And the audience member says, well, what about Jesus? And Oprah kind of says, well, what about Jesus? And the audience member, who apparently knew her scripture, John 14:6, says, there is, you say there isn't only one way, but there is only one way, and that's through Jesus. He's quoting, and she's quoting what Jesus said. And Oprah simply just comes back and says, there couldn't possibly be. And then the lady continues to argue with her, and Oprah just finally cuts her off and says, okay, I can't get into a religious argument with you. And again, what's the premise that most people think? That Oprah Winfrey is a Christian. And yet you're going around promoting things that is calling Jesus Christ a liar, and you're promoting occultic techniques. All of last year, Oprah promoted on her show, Oprah and Friends, a year-long course on the New Age movement and the teachings with the Course in Miracles, which teaches things like this. God is everything I see. I am the light of the world. My salvation comes through me. There is no sin. A slain Christ has no meaning. The journey to the cross should be the last useless journey. The name of Jesus Christ, as such, is but a symbol. It's a symbol that is safely used as a replacement for the many names of all the gods to which you pray. The recognition of God is the recognition of yourself. That is the lie of Genesis chapter 3 in the Garden of Eden that caused the fall of man. Satan came to Adam and Eve, and he said, no, don't listen to God. Don't do what he says, because he's trying to hide something from you. And if you do this, you will be like God. It's the exact same lie. It's just being rebirthed once again on the planet. And most people don't even realize, do your own research and check out what this Course of Miracles is. A miracle, right? It's a miracle that anybody would fall for. It's crazy. it started by this, in 1965, by this Columbia University professor in psychology, Helen Schuchman. And one day, apparently she's going about her business, she heard this inner voice stating, quote, this is a Course of Miracles. Please take notes. And it kept bugging her. And so for the next 7 years, she diligently took spiritual dictation from an inner voice, and that's what birthed this Course in Miracles, which is called a Course in Demons, because it's demonic entities that is telling her. And the reason why we know is because they're teaching everything contrary to Jesus Christ. That ain't Jesus Christ. You can't have your cake and eat it too. On the one breath in the New Testament, he teaches one thing, but this new inner voice that comes through you, it teaches the exact opposite. That's called a demon. And so now Oprah is out there promoting this? This is crazy. Yet because people don't do their homework, because they don't even crack open the Bible, and they just like this nice fluffy thing, can't we all get along, they are being prepared for this Antichrist system, this one world religion. And so that's just some of the personalities. There's tons more. But I wanted to focus on the second part, what they're doing, and most people really don't get this, they don't put two and two together on this one, and that's with the environmental movement. They're doing it through paganism. And unfortunately, it's creeping in all over the place. I'm going to name some people who are behind some of this stuff, and they're from all over the place. Listen to this. Reverend Joel Hunter, the senior pastor of Northland Church in Longwood, Florida, he was offered the head of the Christian Coalition, but he turned it down because he wanted to focus on issues like poverty and environmental protection. There's this a theology professor out of Australia, Norman Hobble. He edited something called the Earth Bible. Pope Benedict XVI said this, quote, the people of faith must listen to the voice of the earth or risk destroying its very existence. Archbishop of Canterbury Rowan Williams and the Dalai Lama, they're out there promoting it as well. And by the way, all that I just read to you is a clip from yet another video clip that we see, okay, that you could see with your own eyes. We're not making this stuff up. But again, here's another little homework assignment. I dare you, go out there and type in the phrase, what would Jesus drive? What would Jesus drive? It's an actual website, and there to promote, because we've got to save the earth, all the religions got to work together, if we're going to keep humanity from blowing up from global warming and all that stuff, they actually have pre-written examples of things to include in your so-called, quote, Christian worship service. Here's a sample prayer of thanks that you could pray to God, as if you can't make up something on your own like it's a relationship. Apparently it has to be scripted. But anyway, for those of you into that, which I'm not, here's what you could pray. Here's a sample. We are thankful for all the gifts that of life you provide, including the gift of mobility. For all of us who can walk unhindered, we give thanks and we pray your blessing on those who are hindered. For all of our various modes of transportation and for all those efforts to make our transportation choices less harmful in terms of pollution and environmental degradation, we give thanks and pray your blessing upon them. Excuse me? You're going to pray that to God? And then listen to this. This is an actual sample children's sermon from the What Would Jesus Drive website. Here it is. Who walked to church today? Okay, raise your hand if you walked to church today. Did anyone ride a bicycle to church today? How did you get here? Those of us who came to church in vehicles today, whether a car or a truck or an SUV or in a minivan, what was the fuel that powered all of our vehicles? It's what we fill up in our tanks when we go to the gas station. Yes, what powers our vehicles is gasoline. Who knows where the tailpipe is? Yes, it's in the back, the tail end. When the car is on, the engine is running. Have you ever noticed what comes out of the tailpipe? What does it look like? What does it smell like? When we burn gasoline in our car engines to make the car go, we also make pollution come out of that tailpipe. That pollution goes up into the sky and makes the air we all breathe dirty, and it helps cause something called global warming. How many of you know someone who has asthma? Well, pollution from our cars makes it harder for them to breathe. We should all try to find ways to reduce our pollution. Let's pray to God and ask Him to help us. Dear God, help us to find ways to reduce our pollution. Thank you. Amen. Excuse me? That's going to be your children's sermon? Okay? This is absolutely nuts. Oh, yeah, I'm doing a great service to my kids. I got their one moment in time, and then I'm going to sit there and invest my time and give them a little mini sermon on the dangers, supposedly, of pollution. And yet I'm not going to talk about their eternal destiny and how they could receive the love and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. You've got to be kidding me. And what's really interesting is if people doing this, I'm sorry, with all due respect, you are not having a worship service that is worshiping God. You are worshiping the earth, which is making Mother Earth and all this environmentalism has turned the earth into the world's largest, literally, idol. Okay? And God said when that happens, you're going to be under His wrath. The book of Romans chapter 1 says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshipped and served created things instead of the Creator. People are worshipping the earth, the created thing, instead of the Creator, and the Bible says, because of that, mankind, you are under the wrath of God. Now you might say, well, okay, listen, that's kind of far out there. Nobody's going to fall for this stuff. This global warming, surely that's not, you know, really being pushed as an instrument to get all religions together. Well, again, it's common sense, folks, if you think about it. How are they pushing this one world government on people? Well, they're causing a bunch of a global crisis around the world, wars and disagreements and all these things. And so, therefore, all of the governments have to work together to solve this global crisis. How are they getting us to go along with a one world economy? Well, of course, they create a global economic problem and it affects everybody globally, so we all got to go into this thing. How are they going to promote this one world religion? Exact same premise. They're taking a supposed global catastrophe, and unless all the religions unite together, you know, and sacrifice a little, you know, then we're all going to blow up. And right now, if you don't think so, check it out. Listen to this article. Religions unite over global warming. 4,000 congregations across the country joined together over the response of global warming. In churches, mosques, synagogues, and halls of worship across the nation, congregations are participating in an unprecedented interreligious, that's one word religion, screening and discussion on educational films about global warming. The event is being sponsored by the Interfaith Power and Light, a nationwide movement to engage people of faith in the urgency to address global warming. This Reverend Bingham, an Episcopal priest, said global warming is harming God's creation. First the poor of the world, and eventually all of us and all of life. Rabbi Daniel Schwartz in a temple in Pennsylvania said, with these screenings and discussion, we hope to inform and inspire people of faith to take a personal and collective action to reduce global warming emissions. Gerald Durley, he's of a missionary Baptist church in Atlanta, Georgia, said, I have spent my life fighting for civil rights and human rights. After I saw the great warming and the inconvenient truth, which is actually a very convenient lie, I have taken on yet another mission. We are destroying our earth. We can't protect human rights if we aren't here. Another gentleman, a Muslim leader, said, quote, everyone has a stake and role in reducing global warming emissions. Working together, we can change history. From Dallas to Texas to Maine, faith leaders are preparing to gather hundreds of thousands of their followers to view the films. In every state, they have compelling stories to tell about how they came to this issue, about the power of the religious response to the issue, and the potential for change to the work to save humanity. Father Charles Morris, outside of Detroit, he launched an online service to provide energy efficiency devices for congregations at discount rates. In Washington, D.C., at the National Cathedral, they're showing The Inconvenient Truth on Sunday, and the Reverend is delivering a sermon on the biblical charge to care for the earth and a challenge to the faith community to respond to this environmental crisis. So you don't think that this is being used as a platform to unite the religions? What in the world is going on there? Okay? And that's what's underpinning all this. They could give a rip about you and I recycling stuff. It has nothing to do with that. It is a world religious view. It's called paganism. It's Mother Earth worship. And they're using that as a catalyst. They're creating a crisis called global warming, okay, to unite, help unite, one of the many tools to help unite all the religions on the planet. Now, the irony with all this is, if anybody's paying attention to the news, the founder of the Weather Channel, and it was 19,000, I looked again today, it's now up to 30,000 scientists, okay? And they're not all Christian, okay? So there's not biasness going on here. The founder of the Weather Channel and 30,000 scientists are petitioning to get a platform together because they believe, after they looked at the facts, this whole global warming is a bunch of baloney.
In fact, actually, the truth of the matter is we've had global cooling for about the last 5 years. Have you noticed we haven't seen that much of Al Gore? You know, I think he's probably, all bundled up in his big home there, you know, which uses about five times as much electricity as anybody else's home. But actually, the sea levels are actually going down a little bit. There's more and more Arctic ice, you know, but they're not telling the American people that because they have a vested interest. After all, if they can convince us we've got to do away with using so much electricity and doing so much fossil fuels, they can deindustrialize America, they can impoverish our people. This is really an attack on our society, and there was never a better example of the total control of the American media and the fact that all of the media will tell you that global warming is a reality and it is a unmitigated lie. But go right ahead, Pastor.
Well, and that's just it. And that's what is driving these people, the founder of the Weather Channel and these 30,000 scientists up a wall, is because they've been trying for months and months and months and months to try to get some sort of a platform to logically discuss this issue, and fairly so, and they keep being ignored. You can go check it out right now. They're resorting to suing. They're now suing Al Gore, and not for money. They're just trying to get some attention. They're trying because they're completely being ignored because they're saying this is absolutely a bunch of baloney. Now, here's the point. Well, then why are they pushing it? Well, if you don't, the only way it's going to make sense is if you understand, once again, the end times plan. Why? Because it's helping promote a one-world government, a one-world economy, and yes, as we just saw, a one-world religion. All of these things, you create a crisis, you can manage the outcome. It's the same mandate that they've been using for a long time. Now, here's what's really interesting, too. I just want to, we talked a little bit about this prior, but I had a little theory out there, and I'm not going to say thus saith the Lord or anything, but I got to think, well, wait a second. This global warming is really a bunch of baloney, but they're trying to cover it up. But if push comes to shove and these people start to expose it for what it really is, boy, what are they going to do now? Because now their global crisis has been taken away. Aha, unless you had the technology to create the global crisis with global weather modification technology. The question is, do we have that? Yes, we do. And we'll talk about that in a sec.
All right, fine. Well, of course, I guess it's Pastor Billy Crone, and he'll be back with us here in another week or so, and we're going to be going into the final countdown. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, the countdown is in place. All of these things are coming to pass. They're not accidental. The media is controlled, and tragically, so are many of our churches. Well, Pastor Crone, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program for today. The hour goes so quickly. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Well, I just want to close with the founder of the Gospel for Asia, talks about this. You know, one of this issue is more that people get educated, they're going to try to resist, okay, which means persecution is going to be on the rise. And again, Jesus prophesied that you're going to be hated all over the world, not in the slice of it, all over the world, because of me, so we shouldn't be shocked. But he says this, he says, the founder of the Gospel of Asia says, while persecution is increasing worldwide for Christians, he believes it will soon impact believers in America, and he says, you better get ready for it. He believes Christians in America will soon be faced with persecution as well, and he is fearful that many are not ready. Quote, he says, the great falling away from faith could be the worst here in America, because people are absolutely not prepared to face suffering and persecution, because we cannot imagine a gospel with the cross and the suffering in it. Yet the Bible teaches very strong about it. So as the Word of God says, he who has ears, let him hear. The ministry leader is convinced that prosperity has caused many Christians in America to focus on material possessions instead of surrendering all to Christ. The result, he says, is that American Christians have become very naive in thinking that real persecution will never come their way. These are warning signs, he exclaims. God is telling us we need to prepare our lives. And preachers going around saying that revival is coming and everything's okay and all these things, he says, quote, I think that people are being set up for a huge disaster and denying their faith when they're going to face these problems. And I would echo the same sentiment. And again, that's why we're trying to get this information out, so that people can get a heads up. There is hope. The world is going to get worse and worse, but there's hope through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You can know for sure that you're going to the Father if in which your time comes.
I agree with you totally. I think that the time is very late. Well, we just keep getting this message out. You've got about a minute to wrap up the final thought on this.
Well, you know, and again, all kinds of things are taking place with Bible prophecy. You know, and I just want to leave with the leaders. You know, the Bible also talks about the Antichrist, and at some point the false prophet is going to deceive people, and he's going to create this image of the Antichrist, and that this image was going to be able to speak and command that if you didn't worship it, you were going to die. And that leads into the actual mark of the beast. Now, the point many people have always pondered, what in the world is this image, you know, this image of the Antichrist, and how could it speak, and how could it be over the whole world? Well, one thing that we also share is just this last election, for the first time in mankind's history on CNN, they came out with Star Wars Eat Your Heart Out, a true 3D, completely live, full-color hologram of a person broadcast states away. And so for the first time in mankind's history, we could see even this passage with the image of the mark of the beast.
Hey, we're out of time, Pastor. God bless. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Monty.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you've enjoyed our conversation with Billy Crone. And, of course, we do have his four, pardon me, they're 10 DVDs, two sets, part one, part two, called The Final Countdown. We carry his DVDs on the creation. There's 10 DVDs there, part one, part two. And another set on RFID identification, which is very good. We have his testimony. It's called simply Get a Life. We have another one called Please Don't Go to Hell. And it's actually a 5-DVD set. And actually, every evening after we finish doing our late evening program at 10 o'clock, we go down and we watch one of Pastor Billy Crone's sermons. We think he does a great job of getting the information out. And if you want to get the information, our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we do have a DVD we have here. It's called The One World Religion. It's actually 4 hours on 2 DVDs put out by our good friend Dave Wager. That's The One World Religion, The Apostate Church. We recommend it very strongly. But Paul Harvey passed away recently. And I thought maybe I'd read something that he had written, because I think it's so apropos for what we're talking about today. And it starts out, if I were the devil, well, what if I were the devil? First, I'd gain control of the most powerful nation in the world. And then I'd delude their minds into thinking that they'd come from man's effort instead of God's blessings. And I'd promote an attitude of loving things and using people instead of the other way around. I'd dupe entire states into relying on gambling for their state revenues, and I'd convince the people that character is not an issue when it comes to leadership. I'd make it legal to take the life of unborn babies. I'd make it socially acceptable to take one's own life, and invent machines to make it convenient. I'd cheapen human life as much as possible so that the life of animals are valued just about the same as human life. So I'd take the God out of our schools, where even the mention of his name was grounds for a lawsuit. I'd come up with drugs that would sedate the minds and target the youth, and I'd get sports heroes to advertise them, these products. I'd get control of the media so that every night I could pollute the minds of every family member with my agenda. I'd attack the family, the backbone of any nation. I'd make divorce acceptable and easy, even fashionable. If the family crumbles, so does the nation. I'd compel people to express their most depraved fantasies on canvas and movie screens, and I'd call it art. I'd try to convince the world that people are born homosexuals, that a lifestyle should be accepted and really even marveled at. I'd convince the people that right and wrong are determined by a few who call themselves authorities and refer to their agendas as politically correct. I'd persuade people that the church is irrelevant and out of date, and the Bible is for the naive, and I'd dull the minds of the Christians and make them believe that prayer is not important, and that faithfulness and obedience are optional. In fact, I guess I'd leave things pretty much the same as they are today, if I were the devil. You can find that on the Internet. I hope you'll read it. I hope you'll get it to others. Ladies and gentlemen, there really are spiritual forces in the world today. If you haven't, of course, read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. And if you can't afford it, go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. Go down to where it says videos, and you can go down the videos and find my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness. Although I hope that you'll get the book, because I think it's important to have. And then, of course, you need to get our material on satanic crimes. There's a book. There's a four-tape set that goes with that. You need to get our material on the supernatural. The supernatural is not imaginary. Certainly there are supernatural things that occurred when our Lord walked on this earth. And there's supernatural things that are going on today, both from the God side and from the devil's side. And certainly we have the four-tape set called The Supernatural. And certainly our book written by Joanna Michelson called The Beautiful Side of Evil, because Joanna was involved in this. She was actually being trained to become a faith healer. She saw hundreds of true miraculous things. Only later did she find they were all demonically occurred, and that all of the people who were taken part in these so-called miraculous healings were demonically possessed. This is not imaginary. I mean, you can't understand the wars and the revolutions. You can't understand the murders that so often go down. The attack on Christianity today. People walking into a church and just shooting church members or shooting the minister. There are people who are demonically possessed today. I mean, Saran, who killed Bobby Kennedy, of course, was into Rosicrucianism and so.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
IRN USA Radio News, I'm Hope Duggar. Manpower Incorporated has unveiled another quarterly report on hiring trends, and it does not paint a pretty picture. Correspondent Ted Noah reports from Orlando.
Employers say they'll continue to cut back on hiring through the second quarter of 2009. That trend isn't only in the U.S. The survey involved nearly 72,000 employers and finds expectations for hiring to be weaker than compared to this time in 2008. The chairman and CEO of Manpower says hiring patterns in the U.S. have declined to those seen during the recession of 1982. He says employers are struggling to both generate a profit and maintain a workforce infrastructure. To do that, he says companies are coming up with creative alternatives to downsizing, including reduced work weeks, voluntary pay cuts, and pay freezes to hang on to people they already have. I'm Ted Noah, Orlando.
This is IRN USA Radio News.
How would you like to save money on gas and get paid to do it? Hi, how in the world are you anyway? This is Andy Willoughby with the 3-Step Plan Home-Based Business System. Gas was only about a dollar a gallon when I started the 3-Step Plan. Today, thousands of families are working from home, driving less, and earning extra money with their own home business. Go to 3stepplan.com.
Hi, my name is Gara and I'm from Missouri. I heard about the 3-Step Plan. I checked into it. It changed my life. I get to stay home instead of driving 50 miles a day to work. finally paid off a bunch of debts. The three-step plan has worked for me.
Most three-step plan members work part-time using the telephone and the internet to build their business. Our tried and proven home business system can give you the tools and training you need to build your own home business. Do something now. To find out how you can make more money working from home, go to threestepplan.com or call 800-424-8752. 800-424-8752.
A suicide bomber killed at least 28 people and wounded around the same number today in western Baghdad. A government spokesperson says the bomber struck a market during a tour by tribal leaders and army officers in the Abu Ghraib district. Vice President Joe Biden urged NATO allies today to help the U.S. tackle what he called the worsening security conditions in Afghanistan. Speaking to representatives of the 26-nation military pact during a visit to Brussels, Biden said the, quote, deteriorating situation in the region poses a security threat not just to the United States, but to every single nation around this table. Biden told the group President Obama wants to consult with the NATO allies on a new strategy for the region, and that subsequently Washington, quote, will expect everyone to keep to the commitments they have made in arriving at that joint strategy. Top U.S. intelligence officials say Iran doesn't have any highly enriched uranium for building